You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
It was such a great meeting. I sat across that table and I listened to our civil engineer and Bishop Harley, who's kind of our project coordinator, as they presented that thing. I was sitting there looking at that blueprint saying, my God. And all they were saying was good stuff. Not one bad thing. They were like, yeah. Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Yeah, we'll put in pavements. Hey, we'll put a yellow brick road down. Don't matter to us, you know. It's like so many things are going on in our church. And so I started feeling kind of melancholy. And so I turned on Mr. Holland's Opus. Now, that's a great movie, Mr. Holland's Opus. So I started watching Mr. Holland's Opus, and it came to the part where he had lost his job because of cutbacks in the budget, and they had this big celebration for him. And all the teachers and students and everybody came out to celebrate Mr. Holland, and he started tearing up because he wasn't expecting this. And I said to God while I was watching this, I said, God, wouldn't it be nice if I had something like that? And the Holy Spirit said, you will when you get home. Can you imagine getting to heaven and the angels are rejoicing because you carried out your responsibilities with joy, and you'll run into people that are in Christ because of your testimony? They will come up to you and say, thank you for coming out to the corner and telling me about Jesus. Man, that encouraged me. I got up. I said, Lord, I can fight another day because you know what's coming. That's why I don't need it here. I don't need it here. I'm getting it there. See, if you get it here, you won't get it there. God will say, all right, you got your glory already. I don't have any more to give you. I want it there. So if you want to honor me, just do what I tell you from the Word of God and pull along with the vision and don't fight. And then I'll be happy. So he says, honor Christ by submitting one to each other. And then wives, you submit to your husband's leadership. Now, if you watch this distinction, the King James says, wives, here in Ephesians 5:22, in the King James, here's the problem. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, the problem with that verse is that if your husband wants to do something ungodly and he throws this at you and says, you're supposed to submit to me, the King James almost intimates, hints, suggests that you should just submit. But that wouldn't work. So the Bible, in the Living Bible, it says submit to his leadership. Here's what that means. Once you get married, you have an obligation, and I dare say a requirement, to ask your husband, where are you taking us? I need to submit to your leadership, but I want to know your vision for our family. What do you expect of me? What do you want from me? Are you with me? When I was a newlywed, when I was first married, I have always been a Victorian man. I don't know why. I've always been a man who felt that he should take care of his wife, and that the wife should not have to work hard. She should do what she likes to be productive and fulfill her gifts, but not the need to be eaten up by the cultural drive. And so when we were first married, I said to her, look, it's my goal, and I didn't have any idea of ministry, I said, it's my goal that you be a stay-home mom. So while we're getting ourselves to that place, all the money you make, put in the bank, and do not put any of it into the household budget. Because we have to learn how to live on mine. Now, that will mean that we can't get everything we want. We can't be everywhere we want to be. But the vision and the goal was so she could be home when God blessed us with little ones. And it came to pass because the Bible said if there's no vision, the people perish. When you are motivated by materialistic success, you can't have both. You can't have a good, sound home and materialistic success. You're going to have to compromise in some area. Amen. See? Okay. All right. Praise God. Praise God. All right, let me go on. This ain't working, Lord. So you got to ask, where is the vision? Where are you taking us? Now, obviously, those of you that's been married 10, 15, 20 years, you pretty much cooked. So if you don't have a vision by now, you just kind of wake up and wonder, well, all right, what's going to happen today? It's like, okay, praise the Lord. It's like going out into the weather. I don't know what it's going to be. But you're just there, and the relationship can cover the absence of specific planning. But for those of you that are looking to start out, put that in your list. I need to know your plan for our home. If I'm to take your name, then I need to know your plan so I can submit to it. And if he does not have a plan, hold off on the marriage. Wait till he gets a plan. Because if you marry without a plan, it's like trying to build a house without a blueprint. Somewhere there's going to be a weakness and it's going to collapse. So Paul says that marriage as a whole should be the submission of the wife to the husband's leadership, which assumes that the husband leads. Now, go back to Genesis, you will find that God gives leadership to the man and has never rescinded. He never took it back. That the man is the titular leader. He is the designated leader. He is the leader. He may be flawed. He may need help. And a wise woman knows how to help the man lead without making him feel that you did it. Because you're looking to help. You're not looking to pull him down. You're not looking to do that because all men are they just have this ability to lead. You see it in boys. There's always a leader and a follower. But even the follower is a leader because while they're following, they tell the leader what to do. Now, what happens, and the Bible said the truth will make you free, is that mamas kill the leadership gene in the boy. Now, you don't mean to because you're trying to be a good mama, and in many cases, especially in our culture, you have to raise that boy by yourself. So you're doing it not like a father. So when your boy, every boy gets to the alpha male position and station in life, how will you know your boy has reached that position? It's the position when they challenge your authority. When you look in the animal kingdom, all lions, all young male lions, they reach a place where the alpha male becomes prevalent, and they start challenging. Like it used to be a time when mama would just growl at them, they would bow and kind of back away. So I was watching this animal show, and the narrator was talking about how this one young male had gotten to the point where the alpha was developing in him, and mama went to tell him to do something, and he reared up and growled at mama. And mama didn't say a word. That's how I knew she was from Georgia. She didn't say a word, right? She wasn't from Philadelphia. She didn't say, wait till your father get home. She didn't threaten. She just looked at him and walked off. And when she walked off, she let out a growl. They were taping this. About 5 minutes later, Papa came in. Because Papa's a rolling stone, so he didn't live there. But he came in, and when he came in, he walked right over to that one and hit him with his paw. And he bowed his head and backed up. See, you see, because mama knew she couldn't handle it, but she also knew that he was coming to that place in his age where she couldn't do anything with him. Had she mommified him, he would not have been able to go out and sire his own litter. So when a boy growing to be a man is not allowed to be a man, you cut off his reproductive ability. And what will happen is he doesn't want to get married. He wants to just stay home. And even if he does get married, it's kind of a weird thing. See, so God is making a very clear statement here that wives must be in submission to their own husbands. This is the first time I didn't hear a woman say amen. Usually the women are like, yeah, and the men are sitting there scared. Like, in your heart, you're going, preacher, pastor, go ahead. And if you do kind of blurt it out, it's because your wife is home. He said, for the husband is in charge of his wife. Listen to this. The husband is the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the body, his church. Now, that connector, in the same way, does not translate dictator. It translates supply. In other words, the wife should get everything she needs from her husband. Lord, 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 I can't be messing around. She gets everything she needs from her husband. Watch. That means that she will not be susceptible to other men's because she's getting everything she needs. But, what does she need? There are five things that a wife needs. And I guarantee nobody sat you down, brothers, and told you. You just kind of kept going with the cultural stuff. Man, don't you let no woman stand up to you. Man, you better put her in her place. Well, what is her place? By your side. And I don't think any real woman wants to be out of that place because in that place is comfort, Jack. Shoot. She just snuggle up next to you. She ain't worried about nothing. She don't have to go to the door to answer bill collectors. She don't have to make no lie. When trouble comes, she just points at you and sits down with chocolate-covered strawberries because you are taking the Christ role, just like with us. We don't worry about anything when the devil comes against us. You don't have to worry about it. The battle is the Lord's. So a wife ought to feel that, oh, my God. Listen, the devil should not be able to subdue a wife because she has a husband. And he ought to be so spiritual that he can see the enemy trying to subdue his woman. The enemy cannot bring the wife down to depression because she has a husband. And he ought to see when she needs to go on a cruise or when she needs to go on a vacation or when she needs a new dress or when she needs some new jewelry. She ought to be able to just transmit an emotion. And when she transmits the emotion, the husband says, I second that emotion. Number one, a wife needs love. When the Bible says, husband, love your wives, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, he uses the word agape. Now, he's not talking about, what we call love in the world. He's not talking about affection. He's talking about that selfless love that says, look, I am giving myself to you and for you. It says here that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And the church draws everything it needs from a loving Savior. A wife ought to draw everything she needs from a loving husband. She needs love. She needs to be made to feel that she's loved. She needs to understand that she's loved. And how does love work? 1 Corinthians 13 says love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not arrogant. It doesn't hold on to the past. It always speaks positive things. It is ever hopeful. It is always enduring. And love never fails. Love never has a period at the end. At least it'll have a semicolon. That means love goes on and on and on. It's like the ever-ready bunny. Love never runs out. Now, demonstrations change because of age and seasons of life, but she should still feel loved. But there is a caveat to that. You see, wife, you say you want to be loved, but you won't let him love you. You say you want to be kissed, but you won't let him kiss you. Say you want someone to trust in you. Can't you see that's what he's trying to do? Now, I know you've been hurt before, but don't be ashamed because no one knows. Without true love, you can't survive. Because everybody needs love, oh yeah. Everybody needs love. Let me move on. Thank you, Eddie and the boys. She needs love. The Bible declares that the man should leave his father and mother. And he's not talking about a separation from them that's physical in this sense, that you don't have anything to do with them because you are told to honor your mother and father. But he is saying that you are no longer allowing your parents to influence how you treat your wife. Husbands, don't let your mothers tell you she ain't no good. She come from a whole family of no good people. Don't do nothing for her. The wife should not. You ever watch Everybody Loves Raymond? The mother comes over and she just puts Ray's wife down and lifts up Raymond. And this is my boy. He's a good boy. And he was in bed one day with a back injury. And she came up and sat on the bed with him and pretty much put Deborah, his wife, to shame. And I thought to myself, even though it was a Japhethite playing it, I said, that certainly is a Hamite. Mother has to be able to sit back and say, I've taken him as far as I can. He is now in the hands of his wife. And real men won't go back home and complain to their mamas about their wives. It creates a schism. And the Bible says, six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that are swift to mischief, a wicked heart that devises a wicked imagination. And then he says, a person who likes to be a talebearer. It's an abomination to God to go and tell somebody else the faults of another person. You make a person dislike somebody who really has nothing to do with that person. Amen. Amen. Let me move on here now. So she needs love. Come on, brother, say that. My wife needs love. That if you're not married, here's what you say. The woman I'm going to marry needs love. Help me, Pastor. Help me, Pastor. Learn to love her. Oh, I know the single men didn't want to say it because they didn't want people to know they were single. I ain't saying nothing. I ain't getting out of church if I say if I'm. You be all right. But why do we start with the men? Because that's where God started. God started with the men, and society has taken man and pushed him underneath. We have watched our women take roles and responsibilities that they are neither emotionally nor physically equipped to handle in a sustained fashion. The Bible declares that she is the weaker vessel. That does not mean she's weak, but in comparison, she was not formed by God to handle those issues that we have thrust upon them. And there is no shame to that. Hallelujah. Preach it, man. Doggone it. The women are forced into roles that they were not equipped to handle. That's why you long to be married and your heart is so broken when you get a jerk. If you really are honest, you want to be cared for. You want to be loved. You want those things. But most guys you do run into, all they want is sex. And when they satisfy their animal lust, they leave you for somebody else. That's why you got to guard yourself. Don't rent your apartment. Sell your house. Because when you rent, you got to keep renewing leases. But when you get a house, that's a deed. Oh, in the Song of Solomon, there were some brothers that were talking about the future of their sister. They said, we have a little sister and she has no breast. That means she was just coming into puberty. They said, what shall we do for our sister when she comes of age? The word of God says they decide that if she is a door, we're just going to give her a house of cedar. But if she's a wall, we're going to build her a fancy mansion. At the end of that story, the little girl says, I am a wall. When you translate that, they were saying if she's sexually promiscuous, we're just going to give her a house of cedar. But if she holds on to her virginity, we are going to give her a mansion. She now answers and says, I'm a wall. I didn't let nobody in. That's why the woman wants love. She doesn't want to feel like a piece of meat. She cannot compete with the pornographic images that the man spends all day watching. She may not be physically disposed to swing from a chair or turn upside down on the countertop. She may not be able to bend in 32 positions because you saw the porno queen do it. You cannot bring that lust to your home and expect her to be that way. No, but you can come in with a rose. You can come in with a lily of the valley. You come, oh Lord, help me. Hallelujah. She needs love. Just like you need love. The church needs love. The wife needs love. A woman that is loved is a happy woman. Let me go on. I can't be. Oh, glory. Glory. Let me move on. The second thing she needs, is leadership. This is not to suggest that she is incapable of doing anything. It just means that she was created by God to help her husband. So she needs some sense of direction and or leadership. When there is a connection in the home, then the wife can go ahead and run the home. See, the rule in my house is that I'm the head of the home, but Sister Lambert is the head of the house. I can come home and find walls painted different colors. I don't care. Cause a house is not a home. God never said the man is the head of the house. He said we're the head of the home, and the home are the people.
Pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Prioritizing the Family, or the program number 04219A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and beginning May 19th, you can also watch the telecast on the Impact Network each Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when and where to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcasts in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher. And the Word of God.